invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. We're going to add the actual music and see how we do. And like most things in life, keep going. If you fall, don't worry about it. We're not here for perfection. We're here for fun. Let's do it. Strong body.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Casey Luker. Welcome to this place. This is a home where no revealed truths are promoted and no scripture or human being accepted as infallible. This is a place for searching for truth. But we are believers. We believe in intellectual freedom. We believe in justice. We believe in compassion and concern for each other and the whole world. We believe in commitment to those ideals which make us caring and active in the struggles for human dignity. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for coffee and conversation. Information about the church is available from the new member desk during coffee hour and from any of the people here have gathered. We invite you to fill out one of our visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We will send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here, and we hope to see you again on future Sundays. If you have children with you, they are invited to attend our religious education program when the children leave for our classes later in service. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. Adults are encouraged to attend the adult religious education programming each week at 11:50 a.m. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope.
Good morning. I am Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. What that means is I come to you pre-fired. I will be officially fired sometime in July of 2016, I hope, not sooner. We'll see how it goes. I am here to help support this congregation as they search for their next minister, and it is a delight and a pleasure to be able to do so. We have a couple of announcements this morning. First off, for those who are interested in our Religious Education Council or committee, Juliet will be hosting a conversation about their good work, and I believe Joy is our chair of that committee at the moment. So if you have any questions, Joy, raise your hand so everybody sees you. Please talk to Joy. That'll be at 11:50. Also at 11:50, I will be doing a program on the sources called Source It. If you are planning on attending that class, I invite you to bring a gray hymnal from the pews with you, and we will use it for our discussion. So it'll be important for you to bring that, and don't worry if you forget, I'll have some. Also, on May 14th, if you have not already registered, we invite you to register for our Covenant Workshop. This is a workshop that helps us create a... I've done that every single service for the past month. March. Apparently, I really want it to be May. Okay. March 14th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This will be an opportunity to create an all-church covenant, something that everyone in our community will be expected to uphold, so it's important that we get your input and feedback. For those of you who may not be able to attend that day, do not worry. There will be other opportunities to provide feedback to the final written document before it is voted upon. So, but if you really want your input into how it's written, be there on the 14th. There will be registration, Sarah, after service. Do we have a sign-up sheet yet?
No.
Okay. Eventually, we will have a sign-up sheet, or you can just send me an email for registration so we know how much food and whether we need childcare. And on March 20th, I said the right date this time, our youth. Where are our youth? Raise your hands, folks in the youth group. We have a few. Yes, I know. You're making us. Nah, I don't want to be special. All right. So on March 20th, they will be hosting a prom for all ages for $5, more if you can, less if you can't. They will be providing basic snacks and drinks. You are invited to bring your own alcohol or any other things that you would like to bring to that. And the money from that will go to support Camp Fest, which is our annual, now becoming tradition, camping event for the entire congregation from June 8th to June 13th in Pier Marquette. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements.
We begin our service this morning with a prelude. To worship. Come down off the ladder. Wash out that paintbrush. Shake the sand out of your shoes. Get up off your muddy knees and give the garden a morning off. Fold up the newspaper. Turn off the coffee pot. Close up your calendar, already filled with dates and times and people and places that claim you. This church is ready for you to fill its rooms, to create its spirit, to generate its warmth, and to kindle its light. This church is ready for you to make community, to create beauty, to bend it towards justice, to serve its ideals. This church is ready for you to be here, honoring our past, invigorating our present, and dreaming our future. This is your church. Here we are home. Here we are whole. Let us begin. As Skylar Lewis lights our chalice, please join me in reciting these words. Love is the spirit of this church. Service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 1058. We're going to sing it once with just the melody and then once with the full music. Start our children's story today. I'd like to invite Skylar to come forward, and if we have any other children or youth who participate in the Boy Scouts, you're welcome to join us. Come on up, Skylar. What's the name of the badge you're working on? The bear badge. And you're working on the one for religion, or you finished it? Okay, so he's waiting on his patch for religion, and he had a nice conversation with me about the importance of Unitarian Universalism in his life. And you said you don't believe in God necessarily, right? But you do believe in kind of the universe and everything. Yeah. And so I invite you to repeat after me. Hi, Skylar.
Hi, Skylar.
Support life.
Support life.
Through my actions.
Through my actions.
Deeds.
Deeds.
Dreams.
Dreams.
Words.
Words.
And I promise.
And I promise.
To live love.
To live love.
In the world.
In the world.
Maybe so. May it be so. Thank you. And now, since, let's see if I can get this to work for me here. There it goes. I want you to repeat after me. Be the change that you want to see.
Be the change that you want to see in the world.
Just like Gandhi.
Just like Gandhi.
Be the change that you want to see in the world.
Just like Gandhi.
Do that one more time.
Be the change that you want to see in the world.
Okay. So when we get to that point in the song, you're going to sing, right?
Yeah.
I know it's rap, but we can do it.
But that only strengthened his determination. He said he would make every sacrifice, but that he would never kill or take a life. He used his heart instead of his fist, and he taught nonviolence as the way to resist. A peaceful soldier who used his mind to fight for the rights of humankind. But not just people, animals too. In his basic teaching, God is truth. He joined Muslims, Sikhs, and Hindus, Christians, Buddhists, Jains, and Jews. That lead into the light that shines bright inside of me and you. You gotta be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi. An eye makes the whole world blind, and it takes more strength and faith to be kind. With that in mind, Gandhi took a stand against the foreign occupation of his land. When things got violent, Gandhi would fast, not eating for days until the riots would pass. But the biggest event that made the British halt is when Gandhi G decided to harvest all. The British Empire installed a salt tax, and stealing salt was an unlawful act. So Gandhi and his peeps took to the streets, 10,000 deep, they marched to the beat. They were beaten with clubs, but they didn't fight back. Instead, they chose love. The foreign military realized they were wrong and eventually decided to go back home. You see, Gandhi G was a very great leader, but before all that, he was shy and meager. As a young child, he was just like you and me. Before he became Mahatma Gandhi, the word Mahatma, it means great soul, and it's inside of us just waiting to unfold. If you follow your heart and act real bold, next time it'll be your story that's told. You gotta be that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi.
I would like to share something. My friend who's been trying to have a baby for 8 years just had a baby yesterday. So it's been a really long, hard road for her. And I spoke with you about it a few months ago, so I appreciate any prayers and thoughts you sent out to April and Ray Lynn. So I invite you now to move to the microphone and share.
Oh, sorry.
Joyce.
I have a joy.
Okay.
I just spent 5 days in Asilomar, California, which is near Monterey, with 450 Unitarian Universalist ministers. It was awesome. And at the very end of the week, in a drought-ridden land, it finally rained. So I have gratitude for California and that they got some amazing rain this weekend.
Now I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
JJ, or John Jeffrey, my usher buddy, lost his mother last week, so I'd like you to keep his family and his sister Jane in your thoughts. I guess he's down in Texas for the memorial service.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts. A burden shared, become a load lightened.
I invite you now to join me in a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal spiritual practice. And as we did last week, we're going to enter into a Tonglen meditation. And so I invite you first to take a deep breath in and out. Now when you take a deep breath in, I want you to do this. You'll breathe in and then go, whoo. Breathing in. Whoo. And one more time in. Whoo. I invite you to take a moment and be aware of your surroundings. Of the pew that you're sitting on, and the air and clothing on your skin, of the sounds and scents around you. As the week's many tasks and duties come into your mind, take note of them and then let them go away. And just be here in this space now. I invite you to take a moment and consider something in your life that's going on these days that's a challenge or a struggle. Something that may be causing you pain or anger or sadness. Just one thing. And I want you to note how you feel when you think about it. As you focus on this one challenge or struggle, this one experience, and the feelings that surround it, really come to know how it feels in your body when you're experiencing it. Now I want you to think about what you would like to experience in its place. Would you like comfort, or relief, or joy? Peace, compassion. What experience would you like in the place? Think of a time when you felt that way. And remember how your body felt at that time when you were experiencing that comfort or that relief, that joy. So I invite you to turn to your breathing again, and as you breathe in, I want you to feel that struggle, that challenge, that experience. Feel those emotions as you breathe in. And then as you breathe out, feel those emotions you want in its place, those experiences you want in its place, from that memory. And so breathing in and out.
with that sound again. In. And in. And out. And in. And out. Keep breathing in and out. Breathing in that struggle, that experience. And breathing out what you want in its place. In and out. As you continue breathing in and out, I invite you to think of one other person that you know is going through a similar struggle or challenge. And as you breathe in their struggle, their emotions. And breathe out for them that positive feeling. Breathing in and out. And in and out. And keep breathing. Now I invite you to think of all people who are experiencing that challenge or that struggle, all people in the world who have that same experience. I invite you to breathe in their struggle and breathe out for them that comforting feeling. Breathing in and out. And in and out. One more time. In. And out. And as always with spiritual practice, I invite you to return to yourself. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in that struggle or challenge and out that experience of comfort. Again to breathe in and then making the sound as you go out in. May it be so. Please join in singing the Spirit of Life.
Each line, please join in the phrase, "We create a web of life." Let's practice it. We create a web of life. These are the words of Sarah Lammert based on the work of Joanna Macy. We create, We create a web of life. This is finally the time to let go of that crazy notion that we can live separate and aloof from one another.
We create a web.
This is the time at last that we can come home to each other, to our mutual belonging.
We create a web of life.
And we create a web of life out of which every single one of us can use everything our stories have given us.
We create a web of life.
Every part of our lives, even the cruelty, even the abuse, even the addictions, even the loneliness, even the failures.
We create a web of life.
A web of life is created within which you can rest in that knowing, because out of that you can act. Out of that all power is yours. Out of that you travel light. Out of that you can step forward.
We create a web of life.
Let every encounter be a homecoming as we step forward now for the healing of our world. The world is not going to be saved by good people or noble people. The world is going to be healed by ordinary people like you and me, who are not afraid of pain and who are not afraid of loving each other. Amen. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the money you give reflect what you receive? As you give to our plate this morning, you are invited to consider how your spiritual life, that life of meaning and value and purpose, are enhanced through giving. This morning's offering will be greatly received. May it be joyfully given.
Join me in our offertory blessing. As soon as the offering is. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings.
The reading today is from the words of Mohandas Gandhi. I have found that life persists in the midst of destruction, and therefore there must be a higher law than that of destruction. Only under that law would a well-ordained society be intelligible and life worth living. And if that is the law of life, we have to work it out in daily life. Whenever there are jars, whenever you are confronted with an opponent, conquer them with love. In this crude manner, I have worked it out in my life. That does not mean that all my difficulties are solved. Only I have found that this law of love has answered as the law of destruction has never done. It is now that I am incapable of anger, for instance, but I succeed on almost all occasions to keep my feelings under control. Whatever may be the result, there is always in my conscious struggle for following the law of nonviolence deliberately and ceaselessly. Such a struggle leaves one strong for it. The more I work at this law, the more I feel the delight in my life, the delight in the scheme of the universe. It gives me peace and a meaning of the mysteries of nature that I have no power to describe.
You'll have to pardon me. This is my first time trying to preach from my laptop. Here we go. In the last few weeks, we've been celebrating the Standing on the Side of Love 30 Days of Love campaign. Part of our denomination's work and part of our ministry to the world, becoming so well known, in fact, that we have become in some circles known as the Love People or the Yellow Shirt People because of the goldenrod shirts that we wear that say Standing on the Side of Love. In these past few weeks, we've considered the efforts of African Americans who made the work of Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement possible, in particular, that of Ida B. Wells. We considered what happens when we fail to offer supportive, transformative, compassionate love to our veterans who experience moral injury. And we looked at how the dynamics that divide us are in some ways a part of that human equation, predictable and yet improvable. Today, we explore what it takes to bring about improvement in the predictable power of dance of power we find ourselves in every day. For us to change the dance of power that leads to violence, ignorance, hate, and the myriad ways that we have found to maintain a sense of control by demeaning one another, as we continue to go deeper into the form of love known as justice, today we will explore how change is created in institutions through the work of individuals. Sarah Lambert notes, we create a web of life. We create that web. It at once exists and yet is part of our own making. We engage in a radical love through our actions, through the ways we treat one another. This is not an easy love. This is not some romance novel. It is not the Hallmark card. It is radical. I like to think of radical particles that cause trouble. They change things. That radical particle shows up. Next thing you know, poof, you've got something else entirely. And yet, based in the foundation of molecules that have always existed and will continue to. Gandhi knew this notion of the web of life, the power of a person to be an agent of change in their world, and not because he created that change, but because he invited thousands upon thousands upon thousands of others to do so. Gandhi marched to the beach to make salt, yes, with 10,000 other people. If he had marched there by himself, I don't know that we would have heard about it. Am I crazy? Pretty sure it wouldn't have made the news. He convinced 10,000 other people. He was a troublemaker. He was a radical element who went in and went, boom, and the next thing you know, 10,000 other particles are causing trouble too. And when you consider his writing, he does talk about God quite a lot. And I know there are folks in here who are atheists and humanists. So I invite you to think of the God of your own understanding. Our young friend Skylar this morning is part of an organization that requires that their members support God, and yet he is an atheist. And so he thinks of his God of his own understanding. He likes to think of physics and the things beyond. When I said, do you mean kind of like the Force in Star Wars? He said, yeah, almost. So think of that when you're hearing these words from Gandhi. It is no nonviolence if we merely love those that love us. It is nonviolence only when we love those that hate us. Only nonviolence when we love those who hate us. I know how difficult it is to follow this grand law of love. But are not all great and good things difficult to do? Love of the hater is the most difficult of all, but by the grace of God, even the most difficult thing becomes easy to accomplish if we want to do it. It required knowing one's enemy, one's stranger, the person who hated them so much to be able to affect change. Gandhi understood the British world that had invaded India. He studied law in England. He had traveled the world. So that when he returned to India, he knew the people who were oppressing the people in India. He was very clear. He said, the actions that we take here work here. They will not necessarily work in other places. The mode of nonviolence is constant, but the message will change. What he ultimately did was he said to his Christian British invaders, what you are doing is immoral according to your own rules, according to your own God. And he lived their values better than they were. And so the British people eventually had to recognize, we can't keep doing this and be the good Christian people that we think we are. He had to know and love the people who were causing him pain so well that he could call them to their best selves. Is that an easy thing to do? Not really. How many of you think you really understand your enemies or the people that you don't necessarily get along with or like? I mean, really understand them. I'll tell you, when I talk to Unitarian Universalists about fundamentalists, fundamentalist Christians, which is something that Unitarian Universalism is not. We are by no means fundamentalists. The thing that I find intriguing is how much we use other and they and fail to understand the needs and what's met in the fundamentalist church. And what's really intriguing is that many fundamentalist ministers today are finding universalism on their own. Not because of anything we're saying. And what a problem that is, really. Because that's a place of connection. Universal love. Know your enemy as yourself, as the scripture goes. He didn't succeed in all of the goals he set for himself. You can think of the fighting that occurred between the Muslims and Hindus that continue today, and particularly the creation of Pakistan. This was something that was very much against the heart of what Gandhi wanted in his life. And yet, at the same time, he created change because he was compelled by something deeper within him. And that something deeper compelled him into a radical love known as nonviolence. He said, there are moments in your life when you must act even though you cannot carry your best friends with you. The still small voice within you must always be that final arbiter when there is a conflict of duty. Not easy to do, because we are social creatures. We want our people around us to like us and love us. We want to get along with the people around us, and yet sometimes we have to leave them behind. This becomes evident in a story about a man named Reverend Jim Stoll. Does anybody know who Reverend Jim Stoll is? He was a minister in the Unitarian Universalist denomination in the 1960s. And in 1969, he did a very brave thing. In a caucus of young adults and leaders of LRY, which is known as Liberal Religious Youth, he came out as a gay man. The first Unitarian Universalist minister noted to do so. This was an act of bravery, in no small part due to the fact that 2 years prior, a survey of Unitarian Universalists showed that 99.9% of Unitarian Universalists believe that homosexuality should be discouraged either by law or education. Not even 50 years ago. 99.9% of the people sitting here would have said homosexuality was a problem. And so to come out 2 years later was no small thing, as was evidenced by the fact that within 6 months he was kicked out of his congregation. He preached for the next few years, going from church to church, but he never regained a pulpit. He died in 1994 without even an apology from our denomination,
or from the UUA, who also shunned him. That said, that voice, that action, created change. In 1970, those same young adults and youth who had heard him come out in that summer of 1969 went to General Assembly with a resolution to end discrimination against homosexuals and bisexuals. They did amazing education. They raised the bar and said, these are our values, we must live them. And at that General Assembly, just 1 year later, we approved the General Resolution to End Discrimination Against Homosexual and Bisexual People. And in 1971, 1 year later, we created and implemented a curriculum known as About Your Sexuality, which included the understanding that homosexual relationships were normal and healthy, and even depicted images of gay and lesbian relationships for our youth to see. And that program continues today. In fact, we have a group of youth who are participating in it in a program called Our Whole Lives. And now that curriculum runs the span of ages and includes bisexual people and transgender people in its welcoming and healthy sexuality message. The thing is, this didn't happen because we suddenly realized we were wrong. It happened because our youth and young adults said, wait a minute, this isn't what we believe. It took a few folks to become agents of change, to say, this isn't okay, and to step up. I don't know if I would have been willing to get in front of the hundreds of adults at General Assembly that year from all over the country and say, y'all are full of it and need to support this. Any of you think you could have done it? Easier said than done, right? Well, Lane, of course you would. She's nodding her head, yeah. Of course, fast forward to this congregation, who in the 1990s and prior had many gay and lesbian members, none of whom were out. And in the past 15 years has done a lot of work, gone through welcoming congregation, spoken out, been at Pride events, and done its own work, and is one of only a handful of Unitarian Universalist congregations that can admit that they have had a transgender board chair, board president, or a minister who is transgender, who can be able to say that they have multiple members who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, so much so that it isn't even a conversation anymore. It's kind of a non-issue. We just know this is what we do. We still have to remind ourselves now and again. Don't get me wrong. I don't want any folks coming to be like, oh, we're not done yet. We always have work to do. But we don't have to make the case that we need to do that work here anymore. And unfortunately, that's not true across our denomination. This congregation was that change, that difference. There are people here who stand up and are those voices for change in the greater St. Louis metro area. And there is, as always, still more work to do. Now, this morning, we had a young man who is finishing up his work as a Boy Scout. And I know that that brought up some things for folks in this congregation. We have people who turned in their awards as an Eagle Scout, people who have actively sent letters and said, I am not interested in supporting or being a part of the Boy Scouts. And so, as always, as Unitarian Universalists, we're invited into that question. What does it mean to have people who are a part of Boy Scouts and people are dead set against it all in one congregation? Right? And yet, that's part of who we are as well. The truth about being the change is you need people in the institution and outside of it to affect the change. And what I know about the Boy Scouts of America is that their values are essentially our values, minus a couple. They state that a scout is trustworthy, good, loyal, good, helpful. Do we want to be helpful? Okay, I need your feedback here because that's the kind of person I am, thank you. Friendly, yes. Courteous, yes. Kind, yes. Obedient? Nah, exactly. Not so much on the obedience. I'm with you on that one. Cheerful, yes. Thrifty, yes. Brave. This one I find interesting. Clean? I don't really know what that means. Maybe I don't want to. And reverent. Jury's out on that one, huh? Reverent, I take as meaning providing care. Care to the world around us. Reverence is about an attitude of caring in multiple ways. And the long line of Unitarian Universalist history where we reclaim words that have been stolen by fundamentalists and say we're going to make our meaning out of them. That's my understanding of reference. What I know about Boy Scouts of America is they will eventually let go of all of this anti-LGBT stuff that they've been a part of. How do I know it? Because they were racially segregated until 1974. And because of the work of the people within the Boy Scouts and without it, they changed their policies. Because they wouldn't allow women to be unit leaders until 1988. They even won a court case saying that women could not be leaders. And a year later, changed their minds. Because they have already, based on a survey given to the people who are in their organization, who said, 76% of them said, we think it is okay for lesbian and gay youth to be a part of our groups, so they changed it. So you can have boys who are a part of it who are gay. We are not at a point where they allow for gay and lesbian troop leaders, and yet the work continues. My guess is in the next 5 years that will change too. And then, of course, we'll have to deal with transgender, you know, got to keep pushing. But what I know is that it's an institution that has been transformed by the people within it because they take those values that we just named and say, if we're going to live up to these values, we have to let this go. And that is the most important thing. It is important to stay in relationship. And here I want to name a concept called differentiation. It's a systems theory word. You don't have to know a whole lot about it, except to say that there is a difference between differentiation and putting up a wall. Differentiation says, that's your crap. This is mine. And I'm not going to give you my crap to deal with, and I'm not going to take on yours. Easier said than done at times, particularly for things that matter. A wall says, I'm done with you as a person. Once we start putting up the walls, we halt the conversation. Most amazing thing I've ever seen was a very liberal Unitarian Universalist in Cleveland, Ohio, walked up to a fundamentalist group and started talking about how she was for single-payer health care. This was before Obamacare was passed. And by the end of the conversation, this fundamentalist who had been yelling and screaming at her, because she had taken an attitude of love and patience and compassion, said, you know, I don't agree with you, but you are an amazing person and thank you for this conversation. Didn't change the mind of that person. But after having heard that person yell for 20 minutes, to have them calm down enough to say thank you for that conversation. That is living the change we want to see in the world. It is embodying it in real time. So it's important that we differentiate and let other people's stuff be their own and be compassionate and recognize when our stuff is coming up. When our stuff is coming up, we can't be in conversation. We need to do our own stuff first. That's not the same as putting up a wall. That's more like putting a pin in it so you can deal with it later. Having hope that the world will change. How many of you have hope that the world will change? Okay. About 50-50. Having grace, which means going with the flow, for lack of a better word, and perhaps the hardest one for Unitarian Universalists, having patience. How many of you are good at being patient? I'm not going to raise my hand because I know better. Lane Wright. I pick on Lane because I know she doesn't like it. She's going to tell me about it later, so... But patience, to know that it will change, just never as quickly as we wish it would. Gandhi said, I am endeavoring to see God through service of humanity, for I know that God is neither in heaven nor down below, but in everyone. Reach out to each person, assuming that they have the spirit of goodness within them. They may not always present it to you. But based on how you act, they may show it to you. Know where you want to make the change and stay in the relationship with those you want to create change with. It's terribly difficult, but it is ultimately worth it.
And so I close by saying, may you be the change wherever you may stand, within and without, beyond and among. Live the radical love of justice in your daily living by showing respect and in care in your words and deeds. Know that you are enough to do the one little thing that you can do, that you are the grace of the universe made manifest. You are the grace of the world made manifest to bring healing and wholeness to your life and to all the world around you. In the words of Theodore Parker, may the arc of the universe ever bend toward justice. But may you remember when he was saying that, he also said, I can't see where that arc goes. I just have faith that it will get there. So may the arc of the universe ever bend toward justice, particularly when we cannot see where it will land. May it be so. I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow and sing with joyous feeling, come and go with me to this land. Sacred community. This is where the change begins. We practice here and carry it into the world. If you are feeling too weary to make that change, know we are here for you. Or if you are feeling too impatient for that change to already have happened, we are here for you. If you are ready and wanting to get out there, we are here for you. Go out in peace, in grace, and in the radicalist of love. May it be so.